Two of the Perek Tes. I just want to review very quickly the Pasuk we learned yesterday, just to elaborate a little bit on what we learned yesterday. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Shafti v'ro tachas Hashemesh.
Good morning.
Shlomo HaMelech says, Shafti, according to the Targum was very lavish. The Targum embellished the Pasuk. While I was sitting, Hoya Keshivti Al Kitzei Mamlachta, when I was sitting on my throne, v'ro tachas Hashemesh Kiloi, Lakalim Hamiroitz, v'lo lagiborim Hamulchamov, gam loy lachachom. Lechem, v'gam loy la nevoinim oyesher, v'gam loy la yoidim chaim ki es v'ofega yikra es klom. So we learned yesterday this pasuk. We learned two perushim for what does it mean? Lo la kalim hamerot. Does it mean to pursue, to achieve, to run after what you want to acquire, or does it mean to escape death? The kalim are the people that are fleeing from death in battle. The giborim is mulchama, the chachamim is lechem. La nevoinim is oisher, gam lo la yodim chayin. Okay, those are pretty much straightforward in all of the different perushim. And in the last words, ki es vafega yigres kulam, either it simply means that everyone suffers the same fate. Just because the person has resources that others do not have, person has koiches hanefesh, physical qualities that others do not have, there is no guarantee for success in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world. There is Eis Vofega Yikre Es Kulam. We also learn the second parish of Rashi, a very beautiful idea, that Eis Vofega, Eis and Pega, two code words for tefillah. There's a code word for tefillah. The question is, why are there two different words for tefillah? So the answer couldn't be, there are two different types of tefillahs. There's a tefillah that a person does b'chol eis u'b'chol sha'ah. A person has to daven whether he likes it or not three times a day. But then sometimes there's a pega. A pega has a connotation of a special tefillah. Let's say Rachmana Litzlan, there's an eis tzara, so there's a kol korei. Everyone should come together to the Beis HaKnesses for a special aseifa, a special gathering, where we daven extra special to say Tehillim, to daven, even on Yom Kippur, we have Ne'ilah. So there are two different types of tefillahs. There's a tefillah, the regular tefillah, the tefillah of Eis, and then there is a tefillah of Upega. And the Pasuk here is telling us that just because you have Al Derech HaTeva, you should survive, you should succeed, you have in your possession all of the tools you need to succeed, to be one step ahead of everyone else, you still need to come on to Eis Vofega. You still need to come on to the Koyach HaTfilah. Okay, one last drush. It's presented here in the Eitzah HaMidrashim, in the Likud of the Mefarshim. He says this Pasuk is referring all to the Koyach of the study of Torah. I'll read you the words, because this comes from the Talumas Chachma, the way it is summarized by the Eitzah HaMefarshim in the Eitzah HaMidrashim from the name of the Talumas Chachma. He says, a person, we first start with the Maimor of the what it says in Pirkei Avos, a person should never say, Licheshe Yipone Yishne, that when I have time, I will learn. Right now I'm busy, I don't have time to learn, I don't have time to devote to the service of Hashem. When I have free time, then I will learn. Because if a person will do so, he will fail. And this pasuk elaborates and says, just because you think you're so quick, ki loy la kalim hameirot, there are people that think that they can, this refers to doing a mitzvah. La kalim means I will accomplish great mitzvos. Okay, lakalim, I will pursue, I will chase after mitzvos. Right now, I don't have time to do chesed. But when I get a little bit older and I have more time, then I will be a roidef. I will pursue people who, I'll pursue mitzvos. It doesn't work like that. Just because later there'll be a point in time later in your life when you think you'll have more time, does not mean that later in life you will succeed in pursuing being roidef after mitzvos. Then when it says v'lo la gibarb hamulchama, what is the mulchama? The mulchama is the mulchama against the yetzer hara. Person is always fighting against the yetzer hara. Person should not think that I could slack off. I can take it easy, and the yetzer hara will not overcome me. There's no guarantee. A person has to be very careful, be on guard. The mulcham is the mulcham of the yetzer hara. When it says v'loy lachacham lachem, this means the lechem shel Torah. L'chu lachamu bilachmi. Just because a person is a genius does not mean that he will become a Talmud Chacham. V'loy la'navoinim oysher. What is oysher? So here also he translates to mean the oysher shel Torah. Oysher Torah, I guess, is a different category of Torah. V'lo la'yodim lo layodim chein. This refers to chein. Refers to the secrets of Torah, the sisrei Torah. Ki eis vafega yikra es kulam. What does that mean? There are always impediments. There are always excuses in life why today is not a good day to learn Torah, why today is not a good day to do a mitzvah. If you're looking for excuses, you'll always find excuses. Ki eis ufega is always, I'm busy. Today is a day, eis, I have to do something else. Pega, something happened to me today. I'm not in a good mood. Rav Meir, I'm not in a good mood. Of pega. There are always excuses. Noe doresh, noe mekayim. Right, this is a private joke between me and there. So there's always
good mood today.
Yeah, easier said than done. Noe doresh, noe mekayim. So what's beautiful about this avart, the Talmud Chachma, he says something that's very different. It's more like a medrash. Maybe there is a medrash, but I didn't come across one. Not that I've really tried very hard. But what he's doing over here is he's taking every single thing in this pasuk and he's applying it to Torah and mitzvahs. The kalim that are running, they're running to acquire, to overtake opportunities of mitzvah. The giborim, they're trying to battle with their yetzer hara. The chachamim are trying to learn a daf gemara. The nevoinim, they're trying to learn the oisher of Torah, the lomdis of Torah, not just the basic knowledge of Torah. The yoidim, they're trying to learn the sisrei Torah, the secrets of Torah. And all of these people have all the reasons in the world why they should not succeed. There's always an ace, a pega. There's always, I'm busy today. There's a pega. There is a disturbance. There is a distraction. Yikra es kulam, and therefore the person has to always follow what it says in the perek, where it says, "Shelo yoymar ha'adam liche sheyipane yishne." When I will have time, when things are going my way, that's when I will study. That's when I will achieve my goals. Because if you're going to take that attitude, even though you have the koyach of being a kal, a gibar, a chacham, a novoin, and a yodea, you'll never make it. You'll never make it to the finish line. Okay, that concludes Pasuk Gedalf. Now we go to Pasuk Gebeis.
It says, nobody's exempt from learning Torah, even about Yisurim. How is it physically possible?
On their level. Every person on their level knows what they can do. It's what it means. And everyone has a different starting points. Okay, so in the if a person is in a very great state of yisuri, he is pata. It just means on every person on their level, you do what you can do. Pasuk base kigam lo yeda. Now we describe another idea. Kigam lo yeda ha'adam es ito. A person does not know his time. Continuing the previous pasuk, a person should not say that when I have time, I will accomplish, because you do not know when you will have time, if you ever will have time. A person does not know when it's meant to be to leave this world. Kigam lo yeda ha'adam es ito. People are no different than fish. Kadogim shenechazim bim tzodora. It's like a fish that's caught in a bear trap. A bear trap. V'chatzi parim, like birds ha'huzos ba'poch, that are caught in a snare. Shekoheim, just like them. Human beings are no different than fish and birds. Yukoshim b'nei ha'adam. They are trapped. They are caught. Human beings le'esra at an evil time. Keshitipol alayhem, someone suddenly the trap falls upon them. Let's look at the mitzudos David pasuk gebeis kigam terem boho es ve'apega. Before that moment and that pega, the mitzudos is following this interpretation of the previous pasuk. Es ve'apega means death. Death is the great equalizer, and before the moment of death, the person never saw it coming. Person had no idea that this was about to happen. Terem boho es ve'apega lo yeda ha'adam bo. Ba'om, person has no way of knowing that it's coming. Ki pisom yavohu, it comes upon a person suddenly. Kidogim, like fish. Kimo hadogim shene'echazim pisom b'mitzodo ra'ah u'machiva, just like fish are suddenly caught in a trap that causes them pain. Uchamo hatziparim Ha'achuzos pisom bapach. Birds are suddenly caught in a trap. Kohem. Kohem means kimo. It is a more elegant word for the word kimo. Kimo elu kain kain. Bapisam, just like these, so too it happens to human beings. Bapisam mekesh al bnei adam la'is bo hara kishatipol aleihem pisam, when it suddenly comes upon them. Now, before we see Rashi, I want to point out that the word pisam is used in the Torah twice. It's used in reference to a nazir. Okay, this is a good topic for the seema of Masechta Nazir. Only 3 days ago. So, what does it say by a nazir? Nazir, if yipol olav a mace. The pesa pisam. I don't remember the exact expression of the pasuk. What do you remember the pasuk? The chiyipol. The chiyipol love the mace. The pesa pisam. If a dead body, a carcass, falls upon a nazir, the pesa pisam suddenly. Where else do we? Where is the only other place we have in Torah the word pisam? By Moshe, by Miriam. Miriam and Aaron. Hashem appeared to Aaron and Miriam, pisam. They complained. So they complained to Hashem. Miriam complained that why did Moshe separate himself from his wife? So Hashem appeared to Miriam pisam suddenly, and she was not ready to receive prophecy because she was not in a state of tahara, and she had to first go to mikvah and prepare herself. And that was the answer to her. That was the answer. This was part of the answer to her not understanding Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was always on standby. Hashem could want to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu at any given moment. Therefore, he always had to be in a state of tahara. And if he was with his wife, he would not be in a state of tahara, and he would not be ready to receive a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to illustrate this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Miriam pisam, and she was not ready, so she got the message. She experienced firsthand what it means not to be ready to receive a message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore she now understood why Moshe Rabbeinu was correct in his hanhaga of separating himself from his wife. And then of course Hashem went on to accuse her and to let her have it, and actually told her, how dare you speak about Moshe Rabbeinu, ki kol beisi nemunhu, and so on and so forth. So the point, the question over here is, we have here in Chamishei Chumshei Torah two examples of the word pisam. By a nazir, the term is bepesa pisam. It's a double expression. But by Miriam, it's a single expression, pisam. My high. Why? Why couldn't the Torah be consistent and use the same word? Hashem appeared to Miriam, bepesa pisam.
Or vice versa.
And or by the nazir. The nazir is walking in the street. He is in the state of tahara, and suddenly the chiyipol olav hameis pisam. Why does it say bepesa pisam? So the answer is: look at these two examples. These two examples represent the two extremes. Miriam suddenly was the recipient of kedusha, ruach hakodesh, shechina, nevuah. It was a holy, sudden experience. The nazir suddenly experienced tumah. The nazir is equivalent to a kohen gadol. He's parish from the mesim. He's parish from the tanuge olam hazeh, from yayin, and he's trying to achieve holiness. And suddenly he comes into contact with tumah. So the opposites. Miriam is suddenly coming in contact with Tahara, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Nazir, who is a Tohar, is suddenly coming in contact with Tumah. Torah here is teaching us that a person, that in life, a person can suddenly, without preparation, can merit Ruach HaKodesh, and can suddenly, without guard, without preparation, can suffer a yurida in kedusha and sink into a matzav of tumah. And the Torah is telling you, you have to be on guard more. You have to take more precautions to prepare yourself, to protect yourself from the koichos of tumah, than to prepare yourself to be ready to receive kedusha utahara. In other words, there are more lo saseis in the Torah than mitzvah saseh. In the Torah, there are 365 loisaseis, and there are only 248 mitzvah saseh. There are more chances to sink, to fall into a pit, to do the wrong thing then opportunities in life to do the right thing. This is a very weird, we spoke about this. This is a complaint people have with the yeshivas. They're always telling the children, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. One parent told me, I have a friend, he told me that this child comes home with sheets. So he has to sign every night 10 different sheets. My child did not watch television. Sign. My child did not go online, did not go on the internet. My child did not misbehave. My child did not speak Lashon Hara. My child did not eat Macholos Asuras. So he came to the principal and he said to the principal, why are you focusing on the negative? Why don't you tell the child should bring home sheets that I should sign? My child learns, spent half an hour doing his homework. My child spent half an hour looking at Gedolim pictures. Instead of writing, he spent a half, he didn't watch television. I should sign a sheet that he went and he did something good. He looked at good things. I'm just giving you an example. He made it, he told him, that's what he said to me. What's all the negativity? Why don't you focus on the positive? So he told me the principal was taken aback. Okay, got ya. Got ya. You know, there's something to it. He thought about it, but then he said to him, you know, you're right, you're making a very good point. Maybe we have to make an adjustment. We have to realize in the Torah there are more los ases than ases. The dangers of doing the wrong thing are much greater. Are much greater than the potential to do the good. And that idea is illustrated in the Torah with the words, with the contrast between Bepesa Pisom and Pisom. Mm-hmm. Two individuals, Miriam and the Nazir, two extremely holy individuals. The Nazir is the Kohen Gadol. Miriam is a prophet, is one of the Nevi'os. And suddenly, without preparation, something happened to them. When they had an opportunity, Miriam had an opportunity to receive prophecy, it's only described bepesa. It was sudden. I wasn't prepared. I didn't know I would have such an opportunity. But when the Nazir was in a situation where he lost his Kedusha, it's even in a greater state of suddenness. It's, good morning, it's Bepesa Pisam. Bepesa Pisam has a connotation of a much greater, double expression, a much greater degree of suddenness. It's something in a billion years I would not have expected. Miriam only, I didn't expect this in 100 years. I would have such an opportunity. But the Nazir, such a situation that I would come in contact with a dead body, it would fall upon me. I never imagined such a thing would happen, not even a billion years, but piss up. Why? Because that's the nature of this world. The nature of this world is you have to be more on guard, more to protect yourself from being nichshol in chait, in avon, than to be on guard, to be prepared. Maybe you'll never know when you'll have an opportunity to do a mitzvah. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The forces of evil to some degree are greater than the forces of good. That's a controversial statement to make, but there is definitely some truth to it. It doesn't mean a person does not have the ability to overcome the forces of evil. Of course you do. And in fact, a small amount of good, a candle can illuminate a whole dark room. You just need a little teeny candle, you can provide an enormous amount of illumination. But yet, this bepesa versus bepesa pisam. Here, in this pasuk, it's just alluding to the fact that things in this world happen, that death comes upon a person in a state of suddenness. Okay.
There are other places where
Pisom is found. Yeah, we in Chumash? Chumash
Torah?
Okay, in Chumash. Okay. Okay. Well, over here, obviously, in this pasuk.
But, I mean, I can think of at least two others.
Okay, what are the examples?
Mipachat
Pisom. Very good. Mipachat Pisom. Okay, Pachat Pisom.
That's the last pasuk, the second to last pasuk of Malachi. Yeah.
Okay, very nice.
Very good. Yeah.
Okay, so it's something to think about. Now let's see Rashi pasuk Yibes kidogim shenachazim b'mitzuda kidogim gedolim. So it refers here to large fish shenachazim b'mitzuda gerua v'chalusha. The Targum, Rashi is disturbed with the word b'mitzudah ra'ah. What is the word b'mitzudara? Is there something called a good trap?
Yeah, right.
What's, so the commentators, they elaborate upon this in different ways. So Rashi obviously is disturbed with the word ra'ah, and he translates it here weak. A weak trap. In other words, that's an important idea. We'll see in a moment. It's a weak trap, and that what he's alluding to, according to the Darshanim, is if the fish really wanted to escape, the fish could escape. Fishermen will tell you this. You have to know how to set the trap. If you don't know how to put to bait the worm, you take the worm and you take the hook. What?
As long as the fisherman doesn't pull out the net.
Okay, that's a net. So here we're talking over here about a hook. According to most of the commentators, there are different types of traps. But let's focus on over here a hook. You have a worm, and you attach a worm to a hook, and the large fish sees the worm fishing and swimming in the water, and he wants to eat the worm. And when he eats the worm, the hook eats the hook as well, and the hook then grabs the fish. So according to the commentators, I saw how he explains it in the Sfasim Amdinos, when if a fish had a little seichel, it would know what to do. It could maneuver itself when it first gets trapped, in order, when it first bites the worm, to remove the hook from the worm and escape. But unfortunately, many fish don't have this degree of intelligence, and they panic. And when they panic, they make it worse. They maneuver themselves. He actually describes the technique, which I'm not familiar with. What?
They dig it in deeper.
Okay, you have to. I guess if you're a fisherman, this is very obvious. I'm not at all familiar with this, but seemingly the fish, if it just had a little seichel, the fish wants to eat a good meal. So there's a worm. It chops the worm. The way it chops the worm, it's not yet lethal. It still has the worm, and the hook is in the tip of the mouth. It has not yet swallowed. It has not maneuvered itself in a way where it's lethal. He still has an opportunity to remove the hook from its mouth. But as the fish panics and realizes there's something foreign in its mouth, which is dangerous, it does the worst thing possible. It maneuvers itself in a way which digs the hook in deeper into its mouth to a point that's beyond return, and now the hook is going to be trapped. So this is the mashal. The mashal over here is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu traps, wants to take a person, Hashem doesn't want to take a person from this world before his time, morning, before his time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to live forever. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to sometimes send the person messages, you're doing the wrong thing, you have to change gears, you have to change your derech in life. And Hashem sends to a person Yisurim. The Yisurim is a mitsuda ra'ah. It's a weak trap. It's a message. There's a trap. There's something wrong here. There are Yisurim. These Yisurim that I'm sending to you potentially can be lethal. If you don't, they can be lethal. But it's not too late. It's only a mitsuda ra'ah. It's a weak trap. All you have to do is take the message, do tshuva, ma'asim tovim, charata, vidui, tzila, and you will be okay. The hook will leave the mouth and you will survive and you'll go on your merry way. But unfortunately, that's what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, that most people don't get the message. Most people, when the Yisurim come upon them, they panic and they try to ignore the message, or they try to be like what Avimelech said, Hagoy gam tzadik taharoik. When Hashem said to Avimelech, you've taken an eshes ish v'hi b'ulas bal, the first thing he did was deny it. Did I do anything wrong? I'm a tzadik. The more a person comes to deny the fact that he is in trouble, the more he digs, the trap gets dug, the hook gets dug into the person's mouth, and the more dangerous, the more the situation for the person gets worse and worse. So that is the deeper meaning over here of b'mitzuda ra'ah, and according to the parish of Rashi. Then the parish of Rabbeinu, hi chika, what is the mitzuda ra'ah? This is the hook. It's a chika, it's a hook. She'ena ela kimin machat. It is a machat. V'dog gadol nilkat bo. And look at this, even a very large, enormous fish gets caught in this hook. And again, as we explained, if it had seichel, it would know how to maneuver itself. It's only a small hook. It has the option of escaping, but it doesn't know what to do. So the Rashi goes on to say, Kohem, just like these fish and these birds, Kohem yukashim b'nei ha'adam, b'michshol katan v'cholosh, k'moy ha'metzudo hara'ah, like a person gets caught in a michshol, in a small sin. A small sin, he gets caught. K'mo ha'metzud, so what Rashi would seem to be saying, oh, there's pshat, is something a little more, is I think is a little different idea. The slippery slope. A person does a small avera. A person can easily stop there, can do tshuva, and he'll be forgiven. But unfortunately, if a person does not do tshuva, when he does one avera, he slides down this slippery slope. A small avera leads to another avera. Avera, goyrera, savera, and one avera gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Before the person turns around, he's doing things that yesterday, in his wildest imagination, he never would imagine himself doing. If you would ask the person yesterday, would you do this avera? Never in a million years. But you start doing a little avera, and that little avera leads to another avera, and one thing leads to another. Before you know, you've stumbled into an area that it's beyond the point of return, and that's what it says here. The fish is caught b'michshol. The mashal is b'michshol, caught in a small sin. Like the trap, suddenly, and here he has a weak trap, and he has over here a French word. I'm not sure what this means. Kohem means kimosam, just like them. That's what happens to human beings. Okay, now let's see. Before we see the targum, there's another idea that I came across. That what is the common denominator about the fish and the birds? Why were they trapped? What were they doing wrong? They were trying to make a parnasa. They were trying to find food. The fish was hungry, so it saw a worm. It ate the worm, it got caught. The bird is hungry, so it saw there was some wheat, there was some food, so it started pecking. Little did it realize that was a trap. Once it starts pecking, the net catches them. If the bird and the fish were not hungry, were not seeking parnasa, they decided we'll go sightseeing today, then nothing would have happened to them. And the truth is, birds, not every creature is always hungry. The only creature that Chazal say is never satisfied is a dog. A dog. That's the only creature that's always a perpetual state of hunger. But other creatures, they eat their fill, and they're satisfied. They say that the cats in Brooklyn, in Flatbush, are fat. In Eretz, fat cats. In Eretz, look at the average cat on the street. When you go to Eretz Yisrael and you stroll around Geula, the first thing that you're shocked is the cats are emaciated. They're so thin. And what's the reason? There's just no food. There's no food. There's no food. It's not. Here the cats, they go from garbage bin to garbage bin, and there's an enormous amount of waste, enormous amount of leftover food, and they get fat. But obviously the cats don't need to eat all this food, because look at the cats in the Eretz Yisrael, they survive just the same with half the food. So it's taiva. So I this is an idea. You have to do an analysis. But this is what I saw on one of the svarim. One of the farshim suggest is, I don't know how you can say such a thing, but it's the idea is an interesting idea. If you do an analysis, most of the time fish and birds are caught is when they are trying to eat food that they didn't really need to eat. In other words, if they only would eat what's on their diet, there would be hashkocha pratis paseach es yodecha umaspia l'chol chai ratzon. Hashem is not in the business of causing creatures of trying to cause tzar. If a fish has a diet, only needs to eat 5 worms a day, 10 worms a day, so hashkocha pratis, when the fish would eat the first 5 to 10 worms, nothing would happen. You know when the fish gets caught? Hashkocha pratis, when the fish already had its full. The fish already had its 10 worms. What do you need the 11th worm? Taiva. I just want to enjoy myself. So your taiva entitles you to take the life of a little worm. What did the little worm do to you? Hashem gave you the right to eat the first 10 worms, but not the 11th worm. That's when hashkacha, the mazel of the fish and the bird,
so fascinating,
is not strong. The fish and the bird can complain to Kadosh Baruch Hu, why do we have to die? Why is it that I've got caught and I've died when I'm trying to make a parnasa? That's not fair. That's not what you put me into this world for. You're right. Hashem had this hashkacha protest even for the creatures.
Who says this?
One of the commentators. I told you this is, I have it over here. It's an idea. Now what's the mashal? No, it's true. It's true. The word is true. What's the truth of the word? Because work backwards. What is a kohen? That is when human beings get caught. Human beings get into all of their trouble. When are you all people get arrested for to fast the meruba? They have a parnasa. You make a parnasa. So what do you have to go rob the bank? You have a day job. You have a day job. You have a parnasa. So what is this? No, because I want to go on vacation. I want a fancy house. I want the good things in life. I want to drive a Lexus. It's not enough. My old jalopy. I want something extra. Oh, that's why you went and you took risks and you've engaged in unethical business practices. That's where 99% of the population gets caught. They end up behind bars. They end up in trouble. You didn't need this. You didn't need, what do you need this for? What do you have to go and pursue such activities? You have what you need. I want more. I want more. Over here, the fish and the birds, they're looking for food. They're not sightseeing. Okay, the fish and the birds, they're not just sightseeing. They're going for a stroll in the pond, in the garden. They're looking for trouble. They're looking for food. They're looking for worms. And according to our understanding, we're working backwards, they wanted a little more than what they were entitled to. Gotcha. And now it was where they're caught. That's the Musar Haskel for human beings. If Hashem gave you what you need, be happy. Don't try to push it. Don't try to grab more than what you're entitled to, because that's where kohen, that's where you're going to get caught like the birds and the fish and get trapped. Okay, let's see the targum of this pasuk. Pasuk Yibes. Arum af lo ish it's not known. The following is a fact. It is not known to a human being yos zimnei his time. Now here the Targum adds something that it's not really clear what he means. He adds bein tov levish. It's not known whether it's good or whether it's bad. What does that mean exactly? I really don't know. A lot of the Targum is very, very vague. A person does not know his time, whether it's good or it's bad. Bein tov levish. Min moda asid lim heve ba'oma, what's going to happen in this world?
He doesn't know if the future is going to be good or bad.
So it doesn't mean he's not referring. He does know the future. He doesn't know That's not what we learned over here, according to both Rashi and the Mitzvah. This means death. A person does not know the moment of death, right, the moment when he's going to die. So here he's saying something. He does not know what the future will bring.
Right.
A person does not know the times. What's going to come in the future? Should I sell my stocks? Should I hold on to the stocks? Ulemei say alohi, and what's going to come on, and what is going to come upon him, just like kinune, nune means fish, yama, the fish of the sea, demis achadin bechako, what?
Nune,
fish. Yeah.
Nune, fish.
It means a fish, okay. So, like fish, demis achadin bechako, that are trapped in a hook, uchit sipre shemaya, and like the birds of heaven, demis achadin bisakla, that are trapped in a net, chivason, just like these two creatures, mi taklin bnei enosha, human beings are trapped lizman bishta at a bad time. At a bad time, the is atadas lumheve, which falls upon them, which is designated to fall upon them, alehon rigo chado min shemaya, at one moment in heaven. Human beings are just like fish and birds, and they are trapped into an evil time that comes upon them in one moment. Okay. Now there is one other idea that I came across, and that is that we mentioned Rashi Rashi translates b'mitzudoro'o as a weak trap. Rashi is loosely translating the word ro'o as weakness. But other commentators say no, ro means evil. And now evil always means there's an opposite, there's a good. So what can that possibly mean? Is there something called in this world a good trap and a bad trap? And the answer is yes. The answer is that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu traps a person into something for his benefit. It's a good trap. You didn't realize that you happened to be in the wrong, you happened to be in the right place at the right time, and that one little event, many great people will attribute one little event to their success. Their life story is captured. I think Rav Pam, I don't remember all the details, but Rav Pam, I think he used to say, well, there were three things that happened to him in life, three little things which changed his entire life. I think one of those things was he had an interview. You have to check out the story. He had an interview for a job somewhere, and he missed the bus, the transportation that was going to take him. And he feels that he definitely, had he been on that bus, he definitely would have got that job, and he would have moved away, and he would have had a whole different life. He would not have been involved in chinuch, and it would have been a very different type of life. So it's hashkocha pratis to miss the bus. Okay, that's a trap. But the trap over here means one thing leads to another. You happen to be in the right place at the right time. You see something, you're influenced, and it leads. It's enticing. That one little thing pulls you in. It's a little teeny hook. It's a little teeny event in life which arouses your curiosity. And from there you go to the next step, and the next step, and the next step. But you always could attribute the entire trajectory due to one little hook, one little teeny thing which pulled you in. So indeed, there is something in life called a mitsuda toiva. But in this instance, we are referring to the mitsuda ro'a, the evil trap. Because this event is what's bringing a person to the end of his life to something which is unpleasant. Okay, now we go to a new theme, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Gam zori isi chochma tachas hashamash ugedoy lehi oloi. Okay, now he's going to begin a story about the Ir Ketana. And the Ir Ketana has multiple midrashim which we're going to come to. Okay, so first it's introduced with Pasuk Yud Gimel. The following thing I have seen, it is of a chokhmah, and it is a very great matter to me. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Mitzudos David. What have I seen? Gamzor isi al shamar lamal loy lachachamim lechem choza lahalas es hechacham. Okay, so according to the Silver interpretation over here, is that he doesn't want to mislead you. Even though he said in the previous pasuk that lo lachacham lechem, don't get the wrong idea. There are people who may take this very seriously, that it's not kedai to engage in chokhma. What gain? What benefit? You're not going to make a parnasa through chokhma. So why bother? No. I never meant to say that. Chokhmah is something which is essential, but don't have unrealistic expectations. And therefore, to reinforce that, he's trying to over here talk about the koyach of chokhmah, which is going to be the theme of the next pasuk with Gir Katana, and it's going to be a chokham, and the chokham is going to save the entire city. So you see, chokhmah is of great benefit. Without chokhmah, the world cannot exist. But there are limits. So that's what he's trying to put over here. One more time. Al-Shama l'mal l'loy l'chachamim lechem. He's now coming to tell us to not get the wrong idea. Chazar l'halil l'sechacham u'cho'imer. Av she'in ha'chachma moy l'hasigas ha'lechem. Even the chacham cannot make a parnasa. Im kol ze ein l'hashlich esechachma mineged. Do not abandon chachma. Ki gam zeri isi bidvar ha'chachma b'zeh ha'olam. I've seen in this world the benefit of chachma. U'gedoyla ha'chachma ha'chachma. Azos chashubihi etzli is very significant, is very valuable to me. Rashi, there is no Rashi on this pasuk. Okay, the targum is a short targum. Pasuk Yud Gimel af dein chazesi. I've also seen dihi chokmesa beolma hadein tichosh shimsha v'rabasohi livosi. I have seen that there is chokhmah in this world, that there is chokhmah in this world, tachas hashemesh, and it is of great value to me. He's not really explaining very much more, so let's go to the next pasuk, and here he begins the story. Ir Ketana, there was a small city, va'anoshim bo me'ot, and there were few people in this city, which basically means they were vulnerable. A small city is extremely easy to conquer, and there are not many people that can fight back. Uvo elecha melech gadol, and a very great king, which in this context means powerful king, which has all of the resources necessary, can completely surround it 360 degrees, and has an army that is many, many times the number of people in the city. The Savav Isa completely surrounds it. Uvono olecha mitzodim gidolim, and builds against it a siege. Let's read the few psokim. Umotzava ish miskein, and this city, its curtains, there's not much hope left for this city. Yet umotzava, in this city is found an ish miskein. Miskein, according to the similar interpretation, is a poor man. A man, as we said, v'loy lach hachomim lachem. A person who can't even make ends meet. But yet, he's a chocham. He's a wise man. And through his chochmah, which is subject to interpretation, what exactly did the Chacham do? I think the Mitzvah says that he had a conversation. He asked to speak to the king, and with his koyach dibur. We're not talking about military might. There's one thing, maybe through guerrilla warfare, if they're coming against you with conventional weapons and you're fighting guerrilla warfare, so maybe you can succeed. But it doesn't even mean that. They don't even have to lift up, learn up to just diplomacy. Through diplomacy, he was able to save the city. According to the similar interpretation, it means in the past. After this happens, he is a hero. He will go down in history, and they will name elementary schools, streets, and buildings after this person. I always thought, when I read this puzzle without reading the Mefarshim, it means that even after he succeeds, he also doesn't get credit. Probably some of the commentators say that. But that's a little bit of a stretch, because in the world we see that people who are chachomim, who accomplish, do to some degree get credit. So you can't go say over here, no one ever remembers him. That's also true. Let's not forget that. But here on this very similar means that in the past, no one even heard of this person. Who is this hero that was able to engage the king in conversation and convince the king to stand down? No one even heard of him, but yet that's what he was able to accomplish. So here we learn from this little story the value of chokhmah. Now let's see the pasuk in the Mesudos. Pasuk Yodalad and Tezvav. I have discovered an ir ketana, itzi ir ketana, v'dover kalhu lichboish ir ketana hoil v'efshon l'sav. A small city is easy to conquer because you can surround it on all sides. There are only a few people willing to, that can fight against the king. To conquer, a king with a very great army. Above it, fortresses in great height. In order to ascend these fortresses and to throw stones and missiles and to destroy the city. There is no question. People would bet. It is a guarantee, 100% certain, that the king has the power to destroy the city, to conquer the city. And what happens? The name is Abusachoir Ishdal, a poor man. Shoyachacham biyoser, extremely intelligent. And he saves the city. The Adam. Koidem, what?
No,
Adam Koidem. That's the point that the Mitzvah says. That's the Chiddush. It means the Adam Koidem. After he succeeds, he's a hero. He'll be in all the history books. But before this event, no one heard of his name. Koidem Shemala Esoir Loizochar Mi Mibnei Adam Esoir Shamiskeinahu. No one even heard of this person. Why? Because he's poor. And if you're poor, no, you don't count. Ki hoya nivse be'enei kol, he was despised in the eyes of all. He was a burden to society. He was a burden. V'lo yola zichroinei b'fi anashim choymer im hoya nechshav mitchila bavur hachachma. If the person in the past was recognized in the past as being a chacham, lo hoya pelikol kachmashim olad esoy. It wouldn't be such a big deal. It wouldn't be. No one would be surprised, because of course this person, everyone knows who this person is. He's a chacham. He's acknowledged to be a very great person. That's if he was rich, if he was wealthy, money talks, and also he had chokhmah. Torah u'gidula b'makom echad. So he's a very famous, well-known person. So it's no surprise that he succeeded because of the chachma. Everyone knows who he is. But the fact, the reason why he's done it was because he's a poor person. Ki hachashivas ha'ilah es hachachma, because the chashivas, his wealth, elevated his chachma. Aval hoil since v'lo hoil nechsham v'kum, since in the past this person was a nothing. Im kein hachachma levada osa ezol. So therefore, what could we attribute? What we will attribute to his success? He's saying something a little bit more than Mitzvot. People are only going to attribute his success to his chokhmah if in the past the person was very wealthy, he was very well known, and he succeeded in convincing the king to stand down. So people are not going to attribute his success to the chokhmah. It may very well be that the chokhmah is what achieves success, but the chokhmah has been blinded, has been dulled, been camouflaged by the chashivas. People are going to say the reason why he succeeded is because the king was honored to have an audience with such a wealthy person, such a world famous personality. That's why the king was willing to stand down. No one's, even though the truth that's not so, the reason why the king stood down was because of the chokhmah of this individual, but the chokhmah has been camouflaged by the chashivas of the individual. But being that in this instance, the person that no chashivas, he was an ish bozui me'od, he was a despised poor person that no one would even give a second look, and yet he succeeded, so we can only attribute his success to the chokhmah. So what do we learn from this? We learn that chokhmah is of great value to this world. Through chokhmah you could accomplish what nothing else could accomplish.
Okay. Isn't that an allusion to Am Yisrael, the history of Am Yisrael, throughout our history?
Yes, we're going to see many, many midrashim. I'm going to agree with you, a lot of midrashim, all different ideas of what this alludes to. You're on the mark. Let's first see the Rashi, and the Targum, and we'll do the midrash before the Targum. The Rashi, Pasuk Yudalid. There is no Rashi. Pasuk Tezvav. There's nothing either. But where is the Rashi Tezvav? What happened to it? Adam. I can't seem to. Avon Lozachar Lohaya. He was not. Also, Rashi is learning like the students said in the past. In the past, he was not recognized Luchlum. Okay. Before we go further, on a more pessimistic note, people would translate the pasuk v'lo zochar es ha'isha miskenahu in the future, and this is so true today. There are people who work for years in institutions, Jewish institutions, and or in businesses, and they build up a business, they build up an institution, and then the institution decides it's time to let them go, and they hang, they put them out to dry. Hang them out to dry. And the only reason why this institution is on the map is only because of the Ish Chacham. It's because of the brilliant person who was not appreciated when he was there. And that's really what goes on to say in the next pasuk. Pasuk says, Zayin, the Chachmas HaMiskein B'Zuya. The Chacham of the Miskein is B'Zuya. So on a very, not for the parish of the Mitzudas and the Parashi, you would assume the Odom Lo Zohar Es HaIsh HaMiskein Ahu after the success. Right, isn't that the similar way you would read the pasuk when you read this pasuk the first time? The similar interpretation is the Shlomo is very morose in his assessment of life. A person can accomplish very great things and you get no credit. Absolutely no credit for what you have accomplished. They hang you out to dry. But that's not what Rashi and the Mitzudas. Obviously, there's something bothering Rashi and the Mitzudas and with that approach, why they chose to learn the Pshat and the Pasuk the other way around, that the person was not recognized in the past. I guess because they want to emphasize that in this instance, the success is due purely to Chochmah. We have to make that point. It's a very important point, because if you're going to say over here that the person's success, you're not going to attribute the success to his Chochmah. You'll attribute the success to his personality, to his charisma, to his family connections, to his wealth. We want to make the point over here that the success was done purely because of his chachma. That's what we have to say. The pasuk is referring to the past. In the past, the person was not recognized whatsoever. Okay, let's first, before we do the talk, let's jump to some of the very popular midrashim. Okay, midrash number one. I have a long, long list of midrashim. Let's see number one. Ir Kitana. Okay, I'm going to read a lot of these midrashim. All these midrashim are Bereishis Rabba. I'm sure in Kehelis also there are some midrashim. Okay, so we're just going to make a synopsis of some of the Ikarim.
Because they relate to Sefer Bereishis in part.
So they're there also. There's repetition, a lot of repetition in the Medrash Rabba. Ir Kitana. What is the Ir Kitana? First interpretation, Zeh Ha'olam. This is this world. This world is called an Ir Kitan. The whole wide world is a really considered relative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elohu Emes, an Ir Kitan. V'anoshim bo ma'at. Okay, so the first interpretation is the Dor HaMabel. Which generation are we referring to? The Dor HaMabel. The Dor HaMabel, the population of the world according to the Medrash, was a small generation. Bo'elach HaMelech Gadol V'Savai Sa, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem came to this world, the Ir Kitana, at the time of the Dor HaMabel, when the population was small, relative to, I guess, what it is today. I don't know what the population, we have no idea.
There's
no
swarm that say it was... Well, I don't know how they get their figure, but they say about 1 million people.
The whole world.
Yeah.
The whole world.
Dor HaMabel?
Wow, that's small relative to 7 billion people living in this modern world today.
If we you didn't have people
We don't know what the world was like, but by saying that's a fascinating idea. That was the whole world.
So, the Dor HaMabel, it was 70.
Where
did they get the figures, right?
In one generation, from 12 to 70.
12 to 70, but there was Shisha
Bekeres Echad. No, so from 70, let's say another generation.
But that was only a fifth. It was really 3 million.
600,000
was Chamushim Olum Eretz Mitzrayim. There were 3 million Jews, 3 million males.
Right.
Only Chamushim. So we went from 70 to 3 million males.
200 years.
3 million males between the age of 20 and 60. So you can imagine what would have been, including women, including children. So you're probably dealing with 100 million.
600,000.
If you're dealing with 3 million males, the Chamushim Olu B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim.
That's only one fifth.
What? No, I think it was from 20. 20 and up. When it says that 600,000 was from 20 and up.
20
and up.
20
to 60 is 600,000. And that was only Chamushim. That was only a fifth. So that means, let's assume, for argument's sake, there were 3 million males between... So that means that if there were 3 million men between 20 and 60, and that's only men, so women is at least equal number of women, so that's 6 million. That's 6 million, from 3 million to 6 million, plus children and plus adults. So you're dealing with at least another 4 million, at least, maybe even a lot more. So we're dealing with 10 million Jews living at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, 200 years after 70 souls came into Mitzrayim. How could that possibly be to go from 70 human beings to 10 million human beings in 200 years? Impossible.
They're very
from. Obviously, there were miracles. There are things that we do not know about.
Yeah.
Our calculations are off. So you have to make, and then you have to take into consideration the Chazal that say that's a very moderate number. That's a very conservative figure. 1 in 5. Some say it was 1 in 50. Some say it was 1 in 500, right? So some put the numbers in the whole different
trillion.
So it's not clear what this means. Guzmos, it's not clear exactly what this means. All right, whatever it is. So here we have over here, according to the Medrash, one is the ear. The ear katana is this world. The small city is the small population is the Dor HaMabel. As Rabbi Mayevsky said, according to modern scientists, there were about 1 million people living in that generation. That's nothing. Today, in America alone, there are over 300 million people, even more than 300 million people.
We're here in America.
In America, there are over, not including the illegal immigrants, documented people, there are over 300 million Americans. And this is a teeny country. America is teeny compared to China, to India. How do you live in India?
China, you have 2 billion? How many people?
And how do you live in India?
1.6 billion.
China?
Yeah.
India also you have.
India and China.
India about 100.
How many people live in Russia? How many people live in the Russia?
Less
than?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. The whole, so look at the old Soviet Union. All of
their population growth is very low.
It's very low. Okay, whatever it is, let's go further. Ubono Oleha Mitzaydim Gizrah HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Gadol. Okay, this is like all of the Midrash, I'm going to follow this theme. Melech Gadol is now what is the Mitzaydim Gidolim? Now these refers to constellations. Akmon V'chamnon different constellations which were going to destroy the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the mazolis in Shemayim that would bring a flood. It changed the magnetic pull. Scientists say by changing the constellation a certain way, it changes the magnetic pull. I once told you this, a fascinating theory from what? We once spoke about this, Dr. Leon Ehrenpreis. Rabbi, he has smich from Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was Aaron Price. He was a mathematician, and he explained to me that the Earth travels around the Earth travels around the Sun in an ellipse.
Yeah.
He says that's a very interesting mystery. Why is there no such thing in this world as a perfect circle? There really is kamat nowhere in the whole world a perfect circle. The more you study circles, the more you discover that circles are really ellipses. So the reason why the Earth travels around the Sun in an ellipse is because of the magnetic pull. There's collections of stars in different parts of the world. Every star, every planet has a magnetic pull upon the Earth. So as the Earth rotates, it's being pulled in a certain way, which does not allow it to travel in a perfect circle. So he claims, he made this suggestion, and he told this to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he says that all the calculations that we have in Shulchan Aruch are all based on the fact that the Earth travels around the Sun in a perfect circle, calculation of Zman. And that's why our calculations are imperfect. There's the sugya of you know, the calculation of Birchas Achama, Birchas Levana, the Rambam, the calculation of time is extremely complex because the Earth does not travel around the Sun in a perfect circle. It travels in the way the rotation every single year is different, because the planets are always in a different location as it travels around the Sun. So there's always going to be a different magnetic pole, and that's why the calendar always has to be adjusted by Beis Din, Al Kiddush, HaChodesh, so on and so forth. But Chazal, when they make calculations in the Gemara, he had all the examples at his disposal. They're all using an assumption which didn't, it's not questionable that they know about the Earth traveling around the Sun, but all of the calculations that they use would work out perfectly if it would be true that the Earth would travel around the Sun in a perfect circle. So he makes this suggestion that when Hashem created the world, indeed it did travel in a perfect circle. And that is why the quality of life, if the scientists today can force the Earth to travel around the Sun in a perfect circle, the quality of life on this world would increase enormously. The seasons, they would solve global warming. You would solve illnesses. People would live 100, would live 1,000 years.
That's because the Earth is on its axis, as opposed to before.
But it's not just on the axis. It's also is because the Earth is off balance. There are problems in the environment because the Earth is, there's a certain expectation when you're traveling in a perfect circle and things go off. When did this change come into being? At the time of the Mabul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away two stars. By taking away these two stars, these two mazolos, it affected the magnetic pull of the rotation. That's what caused a sudden shift of the Mabul, and it took the time for the world to recover from that. But also, it changed the quality of life. Man no longer is healthy to live 1,000 years. He only lives 120 years, and so on. And everything in Chazal can be explained basically comparing a perfect circle compared to the reality of an ellipse. So here it says Hashem built a mitzoda gidol gidolim, a large, Hashem built a siege. This refers to the constellations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed and He created new constellations, or He changed them, whatever this means. Fine. Ubmotzaba ish miskin chacham. Who is the poor wise man? Noach. Noach is the poor man. He was despised. They wanted to kill him. Umilad chueso ir b'chachma. So he saved the city. Now, what's fascinating, according to this medrash, is that there were no survivors. When you read this pasuk at face value, and you read about the chachma of the Ish Miskin, you get the impression that the Ish Miskin, he saved everyone in the city.
Yeah.
But Noach didn't save everyone in the city. He only saved himself and his three sons and their wives and a couple of animals. But everyone was destroyed. So the Medrash is fascinating that it's telling you these
things. The Medrash says that he took all his grandchildren before.
Before?
Them, he took him
in. There's such a Medrash? Okay, it could be. But he didn't save the whole world. So what's so amazing is that this Medrash is telling the Pshat and the Pasuk, not like the Pasuk Pshat. The average person reads this Pasuk, the Ish Miskin, that saves the city, he saved every single citizen in the city. There were no casualties. It's not so. There were major casualties. The whole world was destroyed. The only survivors were a handful of people. That's what it says. Shnemar, Vayimila Seir
b'chachmaso.
Okay, that's another medrash. He saved, he saved. Okay, then it goes on. V'adam lezachar esaisha miskina. Who? Okay, and now here, okay, this is a little more complex, but no one remembered, no one wanted to give credit to this person. Now, this is very deep. This is something very deep. This medrash is lonim shan the pasuk, like I told you originally. We're not referring to what happened originally. We're referring to after. After, this gives very deep insight into the nusach of Tilan on the Yom Noram. After Noach saved the world, he saved the world. And he had children and grandchildren, and now a whole new world came into being. The Dor HaFlaga. Dor HaFlaga, they denied history. When they taught in elementary school history of the world, there was no chapter on the Dor of Noach, the Dor HaMabul. What? He was still alive, but they were in denial. Because if they would record what he did for the world, they would have to give him credit. The problem was they didn't want to give Noach credit, because if you give a person too much attention, then you're going to have to follow in his ways. You're going to have to become religious. Noach was a religious person, even though okay, he went and he planted a vineyard, but Noach represented the Ribbono Shel Olam. If people in the Dor HaMabul, in the Dor HaFlaga, would write, would teach in the elementary school that there was something called the Dor HaMabul, and there was a Noach, and Noach was an Ish Tzaddik Tamim Hoya B'Doroisav, the children would ask, what does it mean to be a Tzaddik? What is a Tzaddik? As a good person, you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it may actually change society. People may begin to learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The adults didn't want to do that, because they realized that if the children are going to be, that they're going to be tzaddikim, that's going to impose upon them limitations. They're not going to allow to steal, they're not going to allow to enjoy themselves and do all of the averos. So they denied. No one wanted to remember Noach. So Hashem says, no one wants to remember Noach, I will remember Noach. Vayizkar Elokim es Noach. Now this is a very interesting drush. That pasuk was written at the time of the Mabul.
Yeah.
But the Medrash is saying, that pasuk, it's true, Hashem remembered Noach, but it was a remembrance forever. And the biggest proof to that idea is, we say it every single year, every single Rosh Hashanah. One of the most bizarre, what? The Zichronos. It's one of the psukim. Why? What's the Nogea? Hashem remembered Noach. That was three and a half thousand years ago. Today is today. Vayizkor Elokim es Noach is a metzius in this world. Hashem is always remembering Noach. Hashem always remembers the tzaddik Noach, ish tzaddik, tamim hoya b'doroisav. Because if Hashem's not going to remember Noach, no one will. How do you know no one will? Shlomo HaMelech came to that conclusion. It says, v'sav v'yisav bonu l'mitzoyim mitzoyim gedolim, u'matzabo ish miskein chocham
amil. Forgot his name. Shlomo HaMelech forgot the name was Noach.
Yeah. What do you mean he found his name was Noach?
Yeah.
Well, there are so many interpretations, that's why we have to leave room for other interpretations. We don't want to lock ourselves in. Right. Umatza Ish Miskin is a very deep idea. Look at this idea. Ish Miskin Chacham Umilad Hues Oir B'Chachmaso V'Odam. Look what it says here. V'Odam. The Medrash says, Odam La'afuke V'Ribay Nishol Olam. There's no human being that wants to reflect upon the greatness, the righteousness of Noach Ish Tzadik Tamim. Because if you do reflect upon it, it's going to force you to make some changes in life. Why don't the world want to recognize the Holocaust? Why are there so many Holocaust deniers? Why are there people wanting to rewrite history? Because if you acknowledge that there was a Holocaust, then there has to be accountability. There has to be a recognition who the Jews were, what they represent, the horror that was done to them, the accountability of what has to be done. Now, you don't want to accept responsibility, so you have no choice but to rewrite history. This is old news. This goes back to the time of Noach. Noach ish tzaddik tam hoya b'dayroisav. The Adam, humanity, human beings, the wicked human beings, lo zochar eso isha miskenahu. They'll never remember Noach. And therefore Hashem says, I have to be the one that's going to remember Noach. Vayizkor Elokim es Noach, v'yizkor l'chayav, v'yizkor l'behemah, asher ito b'teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a mitzvah. See you. Yiddis is in a constant state of remembering the Ish Miskin V'Chocham, what he accomplished, that in his Zechus the world has been saved. That's one interpretation of this pasuk from the Medrash. There are many more, but we're out of time, so we'll leave it for Mirtz Hashem on Monday morning.